I'll make room for two. You and I, Jesus, you are all that matters.
Hallelujah, people of God. Welcome to your favorite podcast, Alone with Jesus. I'm so excited that today God has made it possible for us to come your way once again with the word of God that is able to transform us and to make the best out of us. Like we've been saying for months now, that all things work together for good for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And I believe strongly that your faith in God is strengthening and being renewed day in and day out. Today we want to look at something very interesting, joy to the world. Joy to the world. The month of December is a month of love, peace, and harmony, and a month of rejoicing. And in the month of December, everybody tries to get something new for the Christmas season, because it's a season of newness of life as we prepare to cross over into the next year. This happens year after year. And one of the songs that is very popular in this season is the one by Pentatonix, Joy to the World. Joy to the World. And today on this podcast, I want to speak to you about this joy to the world. Joy to the World is a very popular song that we play year after year. There is nowhere you would go and the tone of Christmas has been set and you will not hear Joy to the World being played. But there is one thing that we easily let go, or we have not taken critical look at, and that is the lyrics of the song. So I want to talk to you a little more about the lyrics of the song, and then we would see how it's applicable to us in this season and in the times that we find ourselves as children of God. The lyrics of the song by Pentatonix, Joy to the World, start by saying, Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. This Christmas is a season of joy. And one of the things that we do in Christmas is to remember the joy that filled the whole earth when Jesus was born. It was joy to the world because at that point, the world was living in a state of chaos and they needed a savior. The Bible speaks of the birth of Christ in the book of Luke, chapter number 2, in the days of Julius Caesar. The Bible says that when the census was going on, the world population was being counted, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in labor. And when she was born, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord appeared to shepherds who were keeping watch of their flock at night. And they asked them to rejoice because a savior has been born. It was joy to the world because at that point where Jesus was born, the world lived in chaos. And therefore, there was a need for a savior to step in and to intervene. Theologians and Bible historians will tell you that between the time of Malachi, when last the church received a word from God, in Malachi chapter number 4, when God said, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, to the time where Jesus was born in the book of Matthew, there was a 400-year period of silence that God did not speak directly to the people that lived on the face of the earth. They didn't hear the voice of God over a very long period of time. And because of that, people resolved to live all kinds of life. And that was a time where empires arose. The Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, the Julius Maccabees, and all those people arose in those times. People were living all sort of life and were preying on one another. The strong became stronger and the weak tried to find ways to survive. It was indeed a time of pain. It was indeed a time of hurt. At that point in history, sin had so much increased that even the Jewish people were mistreating their wives, and they had gone to marry pagan women. And the people who were supposed to be tithing in those days, the covenant people of God, had stopped tithing within that 400-year period. And the priests were no longer attending to the things of God. They had stopped the service at the altar, and they had stopped teaching the people of Israel the ways and deeds of God. Everything had gone out of the way, and there was no hope for humanity, because even the priest that the people counted on had turned their back on God. And so there was every need for a mediator. There was every need for someone to come who would stand in the gap and to reconcile man back to his God. And that was why all the empires arose. The Judas Maccabees, the Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, all those people arose trying to put together the pieces and to make meaning of life by restoring the people back to God. And none of them succeeded. And suddenly we hear the voice of God in a very long period of time, 400 years. And it comes with nothing but the birth of a mediator, the birth of a savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, the soon coming King. What a joy it was for the people in heaven that in Luke chapter 2, Bible says that the angels were singing praises unto God. Even the angels were excited because God has never been silent in the history of the world for so long with regards to his people. One of the things that the angels do, according to the book of Psalms, is that they look into the salvation of man. And they have said that who is man that God is so mindful of him? So the angels did not understand why for 400 years God had not spoken to man. And God had not come to dwell with man in a very long while. And so the announcement of the birth of Jesus caused the whole of the host of heaven to rejoice. And the angels were singing hallelujah unto our God for the good thing he has done by sending forth a Messiah for his people. It was joy for the people of the earth. And so the Bible says that for the people that lived in darkness have seen a great light. And the shepherds went to the King Herod and said, "Where is the one that is born, the king born of the Jews? Because we have seen his star, we have seen his light." And so that light is the light that shines in darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. And the Bible then says that the people that live in darkness have seen a great light. This is joy indeed to the world. And because it is joy indeed to the world, we celebrate and we rejoice every year for what God did for us, to honor him and to lift his name higher, for remembering his own and not forsaking us. Bible says, whilst we were yet sinners, God thought of us, sent forth Christ to come to die for us. And that is why we celebrate this season of Christmas, a time to appreciate God for sending the Messiah to come to die for us. And as we do so in such a season, let me remind you that this same Jesus who was born and we celebrate his birth will come again. In the book of Acts chapter number 1 verse number 11, the angel appeared unto the people when Jesus ascended to heaven and said, "Are ye men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come again the same way." This same Jesus who has been taken away from you into heaven will come again the same way. Child of God, the circumstances surrounding the first coming of Jesus, there was chaos in the world. The people had rejected the will of God and had gone in after their own will. They wanted to do their own way and solve issues their own way. The priests had forsaken the service at the altar. Men were marrying two wives, three wives, and they were marrying pagan wives when they were not supposed to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And suddenly, in the midst of the confusion and chaos, Jesus Christ is born. It was joy to the people that believed in Jesus Christ. The shepherds were watching their flock when the news came. It means that when Jesus was born, life was still ongoing, normal, nothing changed. And suddenly, the good news came. Similarly, the Bible says that Jesus Christ will come as a thief in the night. Life will be ongoing. Many will be asleep because the night is a season of sleep. And many people would have abandoned the faith and will be doing their own thing that pleases them. But in the midst of all these things, the Bible says that ye men of Galilee, ye people of the world, this same Jesus that came will come in this same manner that he is being lifted today. So in the same manner that life was ongoing, in the same manner that everybody was going about their normal duties, and Jesus came, the first coming, in that same manner, we'll be doing our own thing, and Jesus will come, because he is coming as a thief, and the thief does not come with an announcement. But one of the things we ought to understand is that when Jesus was born, though it was joy to the world, according to Matthew chapter number 2, verse number 16 to 18, Bible says, at that same time when he was born, a voice was heard in Ramah, Rachel weeping for the massacre of her children, because they were not. And that was the time where Herod sent a notice that all children below the age of 2 must be killed. And so though Jesus was born, and it was joy to the world, there were other people living in that world at that time that were weeping, that were crying, because they lost their loved ones. They lost people they love. The good news is that the angel appeared to a family, the family of Joseph and the family of Mary, and told them to leave that land and preserve the life of Jesus in Egypt. If not, Jesus would have been killed. John the Baptist had been born 6 months earlier, before Jesus was born, and yet he was not part of the people that died. It means that even though people were dying at the time Jesus was born, there are some that God still preserved their life because they were for him. And I want you to understand that the second coming of Christ is sure, and amen, it will happen. But one of the things we ought to understand, that though it will be joy for the people that believe in God, it will be tears and bitter weeping. Bible says that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth on the day of our Lord's return for the people that rejected him as their Lord and Savior. In the same town, John the Baptist was born, but his life was spared because God preserved the boy. In the same town Jesus was born, his life was preserved, but another family was weeping because their children were killed by the decree of the evil king. Jesus will come again. There are two options when he was born, and this same Jesus will come in that same manner. And so when he comes, there will be two options for us. Either there will be joy for us as we are caught up into the heavens to rejoice with him, and God will say to us, good and faithful servant, well done. Or we will gnash our teeth and be cast into utter darkness. The difference is not because of what you have done. The difference is not because of who you are. The difference lies in just one thing. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? Repent therefore and come to Jesus now, for he is coming as a thief. It is joy to the world. The world is in a state of chaos. The world's economy is failing. The world's political systems have failed. The world's health system is failing. There are still diseases that doctors do not know the cause, and they have no cure. everything in the world has fallen apart. And just as things were falling apart in those days, Jesus came. And in our days, as things are falling apart, it's an indication that the mediator, the Savior, will come again, according to Acts chapter number 1, verse 11. That this same Jesus will come again. When he comes, will you be like John the Baptist, whose life was preserved? Or you will be like the children of Rachel that were killed with bitter weeping and gnashing of teeth? Dear child of God, I want to present to you the Savior of the world. I want to present to you the one that is able to bear your sins, carry your load, and make you walk in life with ease. You cannot buy him with money. You cannot influence him with your social status. All you have to do is to believe in your heart that you cannot save yourself, and so God sent a Savior to save you. Believe that he is the Son of God and confess with your mouth that Jesus is indeed Lord and Savior of your life. And if you do it genuinely, you are born again. When he appears, you will rejoice. There will be joy to you and your family because you are saved. But for those who are not, it will be gnashing of teeth and bitter weepings. If you want to accept Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for coming into the world to save the sinners of which I am a part. I believe you died for my sins and rose again to life on the third day. Today, I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and Savior. And I believe in my heart that you are the Son of God that taketh away the sins of men. Come into my life and make me a new creation. I have life from today because I take you as my Lord and personal Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. If you pray this simple prayer, then joy to your world and joy to you and your family. You are saved. You are born of God. And he that is born of God cannot sin. If you cannot sin, then you will not be condemned. Rejoice, for the Savior is come. Let's prepare ourselves for this season, but let us also take caution that the shepherds were watching their flock. It was a normal day. Nothing changed. And the Savior came. As you enjoy, as you celebrate, do not forget that there is a day of accountability. And that day will be joy to the world of some, but weeping and gnashing of teeth to the world of others. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. Amen. I want to keep reminding you that the prayer closet is still happening Mondays and Thursdays at 10 p.m. There is something God is doing in this season, and you want to be part of it in the area of prayer. So join us in the prayer closet this and every Mondays and Thursdays at 10 p.m. Let us call unto the Lord that is able to answer, and he will do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you.